for your welcome. It's like family. We come in and we just pick up where we left off, and we're just really enjoying being with you again. I know we were with you last April, and thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come back and greet you all. Never been with you on a Sunday, so some of you maybe have never met before, and if we haven't done that, I'd love to get to meet you today and greet you, and thank you for your support and for enabling us to do what the Lord has called us to do, which is take the gospel back to the nation of England. Right now we're here, we're faithful, we're trying our best to be faithful to do what God has called us to do here until he sends us to England. But thank you for your partnership, and thank you for allowing us the privilege to come through once again and greet you all. And it's a joy. My wife's here with me today, and she hasn't traveled with me for about 2 months, and she's been more stationary while I've been around the East Coast and the Midwest, but the doctors are a lot happier now with the pregnancy. And thank you for praying about that. Many of you have walked up and expressed concern and let me know that you're praying for us. That tells me that you're reading prayer letters, you're engaged, and we appreciate that so much. Luke chapter 2. We're going to go right into the Christmas season. And, of course, we get to celebrate the birth of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful time. And I don't know if preachers got messages prepared out of Luke chapter 2, but I'm sure you can clean up all my doctrinal errors after I'm done today. But we'll go right into Luke chapter 2. The Lord gave me this message, been just mulling over this, and I'm going to teach you this morning, and then we'll also be in Luke chapter 2 for the morning service as well. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to learn from lessons from the shepherds. Lessons from the shepherds. They only get about 10 verses in Scripture for what we know about them, but God used them. God had the angels appear to them for a reason, and I think we can learn from their testimonies this morning. Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 8, and then we'll work our way down through verse 20. We'll just go verse by verse. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We see that the shepherds have this amazing experience, this amazing encounter. The angels appear and they are afraid, they're terrified, as you and I probably would be as well, to see the glory of God reflected in the angels and seeing their appearance and hearing their voices and hearing of this news of our Lord. And they're given this opportunity, this privilege. Why shepherds though? Why shepherds? It's interesting. Christ is the lamb that was sacrificed on our behalf. Amen. And these shepherds, being there in Bethlehem, they were looking after the lambs that would one day be sacrificed in the temple. Bethlehem's not too far from Jerusalem. It's a close place for them to raise these lambs. And they were going to take lambs that had no blemish. They would look after these lambs, the ones that were set aside for sacrifice. They would make sure, they would nurture them, they would protect them. There couldn't be any mark on them. There couldn't be any oddities. They had to be as good as they could be for the sacrifice. Just like our Lord, he's the best. He's the only one who could be sacrificed for us, the perfect one. And they were a picture of that. And of course, the sacrifice started with Adam and Eve. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they died in a spiritual state, they stayed alive physically, but their spirit died. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There was a moment in time where a separation occurred. Fellowship was broken. But then they were given that opportunity to believe by faith in the Lamb that would come and die for their sin. And we see in Genesis chapter 3 how God clothed them. Their nakedness had been revealed because of their sin, and skins were put on them from an animal. And most likely that was a lamb. I believe it was. And then after that, shortly after that, you see the testimony of Abel raising his sheep and bringing sacrifice to God. And of course, you have the situation of Cain and Abel. And Cain's sacrifice, he tried to go away from the picture of the lamb that would be sacrificed. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And of course, jealousy arose. But the sacrifice was taught from that time. They would sacrifice those lambs. And we are now able to look back at the sacrifice that has occurred on Calvary. Amen. But at this time, they're looking forward to the cross, and they're looking after these lambs. It's interesting that God would appear to them, because shortly their jobs would no longer be required. Amen? The lamb had come. Amen. He was going to die. And they had been appeared to in this way. You know, and another fun thought, I wonder if these men, these shepherds, were raising sheep on the very hills that King David raised his sheep. Have you ever thought about that? Thought about that yesterday. I wonder if they were the exact same hills as David looked after his sheep, and of course he smote a lion, he smote a bear, victories of faith that gave him confidence in God to go against Goliath. What a testimony there. But David raised sheep. He played before God in worship on, I believe, maybe these very hills. Amen. That's interesting, isn't it? The shepherds have an opportunity here first, after Mary and Joseph, but have an opportunity here that night of the coming of our Lord. If we continue on, we see their response. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the angels said one to another, let us now go, the shepherds said one to another, I apologize, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We see the appearance of the angels, the revelation of Christ's coming, that he has come, he's born in Bethlehem, to go find him. And then now we see their response. And now what can we learn today as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ? What can we learn about the shepherd's response? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd guide the words this morning, Lord, that you'd use me, use your word, bless your word as you've promised to do so. And I pray, Lord, that we be encouraged by the testimony of these individuals who are special to you, as we all are special to you. You've died for us all. But these men had a place in your word, and I pray that you'd help us see some of the truths found here in your word. In your name I pray, amen. What is the testimony of the shepherds? Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What's the first observation when we come to look at these shepherds? The first observation, number one, is they encouraged each other to do the will of God. They encouraged each other to do God's will. That's what you and I are called to do, amen? We need to strengthen each other to get on board with the program. They had been told to go into Bethlehem. And of course, you see that was shared in verse 12, that the babe was lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. And they were given that. That was presented to them. And now this is their response. We are going to go find this child. We are going to go find the Lord. You and I are called to be an encouragement to one another. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Please keep a placeholder in Luke chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 10, common passage. We're going to flip through scripture this morning. I want us to look at some other examples of individuals who encouraged each other to fulfill the will of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 23, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe the Apostle Paul here in the book of Hebrews is encouraging the Hebrews and Christians alike to go out and encourage each other to gather together and be an encouragement. Come to be a blessing. Gather together and exhort. Build somebody up. Encourage them to do right before God. Who's a testimony of an individual who did that? Turn with me to Acts. Acts chapter 11. I had a fun doing a little study last night. Acts chapter 11. Now you get to follow along with me. Acts chapter 11. We're going to look at a testimony of an individual who had this testimony of one who exhorted, one who encouraged, one who had an influence on the Apostle Paul, a very close influence. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, in verse, let's actually look in verse 20, verse 20 for reference. The Bible says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Amen. Would that be said about you and I? That we went to a fellowship. We gather together to encourage one another. And I love how the verse says here, Luke recorded it in this way, that with the end of verse 23, that was purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. What do we struggle with, each and every one of us? What we struggle with many times is getting close to our Lord. When we come close to Jesus, we fellowship with him, we're taking steps of faith, but when we are away from the Lord, we'll never be separated from him. He's going to take us to, he's already promised to take us to heaven, he's promised a home to us, but we can be distant. We can be afar off, as Peter was that night when Jesus was betrayed and he spoke against the Lord. He stood afar off. There can be Christians, and there is potential in you and I's life to be away from the Lord, but what we must do is we must be encouraging each other to grow close to Jesus, to grow close in fellowship with our Lord, to exhort one another to get back to our Bible, to exhort one another to pray together, to pray for each other. We can be a person of encouragement. And these shepherds, going back to them, they're standing there on that hillside. They've been given this revelation. Now what are they going to do about it? They know they're supposed to go find this babe. They know they're supposed to go find Jesus. So they say one to another, let's go do this. I wonder if there was one in the group saying, well, what about the sheep? Well, we're in the middle of our shift. There could have been a voice of discouragement, but no, they were together in this. We're going to go find this babe, amen? Could that be said about you and I? Do we exhort one another? Turn with me, chapter 14 of Acts. Let's look at another testimony. Chapter 14 of Acts. So Barnabas did this to the church of Antioch, and of course he did this with Paul and to Paul. He was a person who exhorted, he encouraged. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse 20, here you have Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey, the first missionary journey. The Bible says in verse 20, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And while there, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. spiritual oppression, government oppression, family oppression, tribulation can come into our lives where the forces of darkness have pitted themselves against, and guess what? They're against you today. If you're living a life for God, the darkness is your enemy, and they're coming for you. And if you're facing opposition, keep going forward because you're doing something right. And that's what we need in our world today as Christians. When a brother is down, when a brother is discouraged, when a sister is discouraged, when they're feeling that opposition, we need a Paul and Barnabas to stand up and say, you're doing something right. Just keep going. Just keep moving forward. Exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. We need shepherds. We need people of God who will encourage each other to do what's right before our God. Amen. We don't need somebody to tear someone down. We don't need the criticism. We need to be people of encouragement. Yes, church discipline has its place. Yes, we must stand on the word of God and stand for right. But we also must exhort. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look in another testimony. Oh, I love this testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I heard a message on this and it just stuck with me. I love it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in let's start in verse 13. And Paul's speaking to the church of Corinth. He's written a pretty hard letter. If you got a letter from the Apostle Paul, you probably would wonder twice about opening, especially if you, after 1 Corinthians, they're getting the 2 Corinth letter. They're probably sitting there like, do we really want to open this? it's gonna be hard. And he comes in hard. He confronts them about some things. Of course, they were doing the Lord's Supper wrong. They were treating it like a potluck and treating it as a solemn time that it is. But he ends here in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Do you find that encouraging? Would you like those words sent to you in a text, in an email? Stand strong. I've received communication from you all. Thank you for that, for those that send emails and those that have sent text messages. That is an encouragement to our hearts to hear from you, telling us, just keep going forward. Stand strong. Paul did this to this church that he's invested in. He also says this in verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. Of course, the kindness and the love that needs to be shown from Christians to each other. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This was a family group that got saved at the beginning of their ministry in Achaia. And when they got saved, they got on fire for God. And they had this ministry of the saints. Do you love how our King James Bible says the word addicted? They were addicted to that. They lived and breathed to encourage someone else in the Lord. Wow. Verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for they which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit, Paul speaking, and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge people that exhort, that have a ministry of the saints. You and I, we're all called to minister. And especially in these final days that we find ourselves in, and I believe we're in those final days. God has given our country a moment of reprieve, but we know the end book. We know what's coming. It's coming soon. We see the symptoms in our society. Just read 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's all there. We see it right now. We may have been given some mercy, but we're heading that way. Don't be asleep on that rapture day. There's a possibility of Christians to be asleep. And as we approach in these last days, so much the more, let's encourage each other. The shepherd stood on that hill to do God's will. Go with me back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Are you and I an encouragement? Are you and I an encouragement? Luke chapter 2. And now we are going to look down at verse 16. the Bible says. After they encouraged each other to go to Bethlehem, the Bible says in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They were told to do something, they encouraged each other to do something, and then they were urgent to do what has been revealed to them, which is go find Jesus. And they came with haste. You and I, that ought to encourage us. When God has given us a plan, when God has given us direction, yes, we are to be patient. If we get impatient, we can be outside the will of God. We will be outside the will of God. We must practice patience in our life, and that comes by walking in the Spirit. He will give us patience to do His will. But when we know to do something, we must keep moving forward. You know, patience, just take a step back. Patience isn't me just sitting back like, okay, God, I'll sit here. No, we're still moving, but we're trusting God, amen? And when they found that God had a plan for them, not only did they encourage each other, they went quickly and did it. They came with haste. What are some examples in Scripture of people who went with haste? Well, let's think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If we look at Acts chapter 8, we won't forsake a time, but Philip finds himself in the city there in Samaria. Revival's happening, Acts 8:8. There was great joy in that city. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. Woo! It's exciting. Revival's here. And then all of a sudden, God's like, okay, now I want you to go into the desert place. Oh. So he now has to go into the desert. He finds himself in the desert, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, look, in the distance, there's a man in a chariot. Let's look at it. Let's look. Acts chapter 8. I want you to see what our King James Bible says. Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry. We will get done on time. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 8. So the Holy Spirit speaks to him, impresses on his heart. Acts chapter 8. Verse 29 of Acts chapter 8. So Philip sees the Ethiopian eunuch, sees that he's reading something, and the Bible says, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Can you imagine this guy sitting in the chariot? He's out in a desert, and all of a sudden, poof, here's Philip. Hey, you understand what you're reading? But that's what he was told to go to this man, and he didn't drag his feet in doing that. Amen? Right. Unlike where you have the story of Jonah, where Jonah went the opposite direction. Philip ran to this man. You and I, God gives us a plan. God gives us a direction. Yes, patience is important, but we're still moving in the forward direction, amen? And when these men heard the plan from God, they came with haste. They were urgent. Just like the woman at the well, Christ says to her, I am he, I am the Messiah. She drops her water pot, she drops everything, and she goes back to the city to find her friends and family and bring them back to Jesus. You and I, may we have this urgency inside us, this fire. God has given us breath today. Let's not waste any more moments. Don't waste any more time. Be urgent to do the Father's business. Amen? Christ was urgent. He didn't want to waste time. He didn't waste time. He fulfilled the Father's will. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Lessons from the shepherds. Number one, they encouraged each other to do God's will. Number two, they went with haste. They were urgent to do God's will. They made it a priority. They didn't get distracted. They didn't stop for a rest stop. They ran to find Jesus. The Bible says in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they had seen Jesus, they made sure everybody knew what had just occurred. And the Bible says in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They saw Jesus. They had an encounter with our Lord. And then they went out to tell someone else. They didn't keep it with themselves. There's a lot we can learn right there in our lives. Christ has been very good to us. How many of you had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home? Would you raise your hand with that? My dad didn't. My dad, first generation Christian, saved when he was in the Air Force in England. I'm glad that my dad raised his boys to hear of the Word of God, hear of salvation at a young age, see the testimony of my parents. I'm glad for that. Not everybody had that opportunity, but there's a good chunk of us that have. And you and I, we have a responsibility. And those that are saved, every Christian has a responsibility. We've come to the cross. We've had a moment of time where we became eternally secure by accepting God's gift of salvation. And it is our responsibility to tell someone else. We are to steward this gospel. We are to get it out, not keep it within. When we keep it within, I can take you to England right now. I can take you to building to building to building that are now mosques, that are now bars, that are now apartment buildings. Why? Because God's people stop telling somebody else. I'll tell you, the Welsh Revival. I can take you to town after town after town, village after village after village where they got saved, those coal miners. They got on fire for God. They put together these Welsh chapels, and very few of them are preaching the gospel today. And they're in every town. You can drive from town to town to town. You can go to the city where my dad's pastoring. Two churches are now mosques. One is right there in the center of town. Used to be an evangelical gospel preaching church. Sent it off to the Muslims. The Baptist church in town, the Baptist Union, they sold their building to a bar. They wouldn't sell it to us. They sold it to a bar. Right there in the center of town. You can see the clock tower. There at this bar. Why? Because God's people stop telling someone else. In America, if we're not careful, we're going to experience this. What a waste. The blood, sweat, and tears of God's saints to build to building, to gather together in fellowship, it's all wasted. We stopped telling someone else. When the shepherds heard, when they had an encounter with Christ, they made the saying known abroad. And that convicts my heart. They went and they told someone else. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Brother Dan, you're not teaching the Sunday school lesson. I'm sorry, you got the preaching this morning. Maybe I'll teach the sermon, Sunday morning message. Oh, all right. Acts 1:8. The Bible says, Acts 1:8, Christ is speaking to them. Let's actually look at verse 4 for sake of context. The Bible says, Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They're looking for Jerusalem to be restored, looking for New Jerusalem. They don't know what that looks like, but they're looking for it. And Jesus says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. We do not know when he's coming back to establish his kingdom here, but it's going to happen very soon. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Disciples, you are going to witness what you've seen. What did they see? They saw our Lord. They saw his sinless life. John saw his crucifixion. And then they saw an empty tomb. Amen? And they saw a resurrected Savior. God the Father said the payment of God the Son, the perfect Lamb, was enough. Praise God. We'll get to that in the next message. Praise God. So they saw that. They're witnesses to that. And Jesus says, now you need to go out and tell someone else. And they're standing there. The Bible says in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went and up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. They're standing there. Christ has gone up to heaven. He's gone up in the clouds. They're standing there. Whew. He said we wouldn't know when he's coming. He's gone. Here. They say, hey, guys, just to paraphrase, why are you still standing here? Can you imagine our Lord gets up to heaven? He gets up to heaven, trumpets sound, he gets to there, right hand of the Father, sits down, looks down. The disciples are still standing there. Gabriel, go tell them. Get busy. I know I'm paraphrasing. Or we're just having some fun, but he said to go tell someone else, didn't he? Back into Jerusalem. Don't leave from Jerusalem. Get back to Jerusalem. A day of Pentecost is going to happen. What happened to the day of Pentecost? Peter got up, he preached, and thousands are getting saved. Wow. And then if you read Acts chapter 19, verse 10, they got the word of God to every soul in the entire place of Asia Minor within a span of 2 years. Do you believe the disciples did a good job of making sure the saying was known abroad? Yes. You and I have the same responsibility today. Lessons from the shepherds. One, are we encouraging Christians? Do we encourage each other? If you find yourself around someone who's not encouraging, encourage them, but maybe get around a group who will encourage you. Can I just encourage you with that? Be around those who want to be an encouragement. That will be a blessing in your heart. One thing, my wife and I were driving here, and we're so excited to be here with Cornerstone Baptist Church because you are an encouragement. From a distance, you're an encouragement. When we're together with you, you're an encouragement. Your pastor's an encouragement. His wife is an encouragement. We love being around you. This is a blessing to our heart. So I know I'm teaching a lesson to the choir, but let's be an encouragement. Number two, are we urgent to do God's will? Number three, are we spreading the gospel? Are we making sure the saying is known abroad? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this lesson time. Thank you for the testimony of the shepherds, Lord. I pray you'd work in my heart. I know there are areas where I fail you. Forgive me for those failings, Lord. Convict me. Help me this week as I move forward to do what's right before you, to not waste another breath, not waste another moment. I know I'll fall. Help me, Lord, to get back up and keep moving forward. And we'll give you all the praise and glory for that. We pray for the morning service, Lord, and all that's about to come.